Mormonism 101, a book by Mormonism Research Ministries, Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, has helped many who want to understand what separates Mormonism from the Christian faith. Mormonism 101 is available at your favorite Christian bookstore or online at mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Many of you know that I just returned from a trip to the country of Haiti, where I was speaking to a group of pastors. It was a two-day conference that I was involved in. And the reason why we felt it important to go there and at least break some of the ground of getting this information out to some of the local Christian leaders is because the Mormon Church announced way back in 2015 that they were going to be building a temple in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, which is one of the predominant cities in this country. Now, as you can imagine, Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and sometimes you might ask yourself, why in the world is the LDS Church building an expensive building in such a poor country? That's a great question. The question I had, first of all, was there's not really a whole lot of LDS members in the country of Haiti. And it seems like the Mormon Church is making a course correction as to where they are going to be putting these very expensive buildings, because not only are they expensive to build, they are expensive to maintain as well. And in many of the countries where the church is planning on building these new temples, there's not a whole lot of members. I mean, Haiti itself has about 23,000 members, and you would think, is that really worth putting an expensive building like that? Now, the Mormons would say, well, yeah, of course it's worth it because we're doing work for the dead. We're saving our ancestors. And of course, that's an important thing to a member of the LDS Church. But when I heard that they were going to build a temple there, and the fact that they had broken ground on a temple just last year in October of 2017, it just so happened that the church where I attend in West Jordan, Utah, was planning on sending another team over to Haiti to do some humanitarian work. So I talked to my pastor, Brian, and I told him that if we could work something out to where I could be given the opportunity to do some extensive training with local leaders, that I would like to piggyback on my church's trip going over there, and I would go as well. And of course, while I'm not teaching, I would be joining them in some of the humanitarian work that they were doing over there, which I did. And it was quite an experience. But let me just say that the conference itself was over a two-day period. The first day, we had a little over 70 pastors show up. And thankfully, the weather was cooperating. When I was checking the weather before we left, it was supposed to rain every single day. That did not happen. We had one real serious rain while we were there. It happened to be when the group was doing what they call prayer walks, where they go out into the neighborhood with food and they knock on doors and they distribute food to people there. And they also talk to them and ask them about any particular prayer requests that they might have. I was not involved in any of those prayer walks, but I was involved in some of the other things that they were doing. But I thank God that the weather cooperated. I thank God for all of your prayers, because as we were speaking in several churches before I left, I was asking specifically for the Christians to pray for me as far as health, because I kept hearing all these horror stories of people who go on these short-term mission trips, such as to countries like Haiti, and they end up getting sick. And I wasn't going to be over there for a long period of time to begin with. I certainly did not want any downtime because I wasn't feeling well. Well, thankfully, none of us in our group, and there were 18 of us, including myself, that went over there, none of us got sick. And I just praise God for that. And I praise him for the weather, because we did not have any weather impediments at all that would prohibit some of these pastors from getting there. Because you can imagine, the roads over there are many times, they're not paved. The only time you see pavement is in the small cities that we would drive through, and they were very small. But most of the time we were driving to get from the airport, and we landed at Cap Haitien, which is on the northern part of the island. The reason why we chose to go to Cap Haitien is because there was some political unrest in Port-au-Prince. That political unrest was still going on when we arrived in Haiti, and so that prohibited any chance of me getting into Port-au-Prince proper. I was hoping that I could. That did not come to pass. That's okay. I was still quite impressed the fact that we had a little over 70 pastors show up the first day. And then, of course, you wonder, well, how many are going to show up the second day? Well, we had closer to 80 on the second day. So that encouraged me that we were able to reach that many. And you might ask, well, do you think that's going to make any type of a serious dent when it comes to educating the Christians? I do. And certainly, I don't think that this should be the only time when we should be educating the Haitian people regarding what to expect when that temple is eventually built. And I might say, from what I've been looking at on the web, they're really making a lot of progress on this temple. They have already put the outside walls on there, and they're waterproofing it, the last I heard. And so that thing could be opening up relatively quickly. But when they do finish this temple, I'm sure that's going to be a prominent landmark in this country that is going to draw a lot of the people's attention to the LDS Church. I know this is the way it's worked in other countries as well. Well, let me ask you, Eric, why would you think that they would spend so much time and effort putting a building like this in a country that has so few members of their church? That seems like a real strategy change.
I think you're right. It's an investment, so to speak, because wherever they do put a temple, you're going to have a lot of interest. The open house is going to draw a lot of people in. Here you have a country of people who are so poor, but we have found that in Latin America and other places that are so poor, the Americanization of the temples, the idea that they can get the welfare program going and everything else can be a big attraction. But you mentioned 23,000 members in the entire country, according to MormonNewsroom.org. It doesn't seem like a lot of people, but when you look at some of the other places where they have announced temples in 2018, they announced 19 temples. In fact, now there are scheduled to be 200 plus temples in the world. Right now, as we speak, 160 temples in all of the world. They have 40 on the back burner, but 19 announced, including 12 at the October conference. But listen to some of the places that they're putting them. Cambodia. Cambodia has 14,000 Latter-day Saints in the entire country. A place called Cape Verde in Africa, 14,000 members, entire country. Puerto Rico, 23,000. In India, and India is a huge geographic country, 13,000 in the entire country, they're going to put a temple. So,
yeah, and that temple is not in the middle. It's more in the southern area, which probably has a bit of a higher population, I would assume.
But then you're going to have people in the rest of the country having to travel there if they are LDS. So I think in their minds, it certainly is spiritual because they are getting ready for the millennium. We know that Russell M. Nelson believes that what he's doing is getting ready for the return of Jesus, and they believe the millennium is going to be a time to do this work for the dead. So why not get started now while they have the opportunity, they have the resources and means to be able to build these? So spiritual, but also, I think, an investment in the religion itself, because no doubt they're going to grow after they get a temple. So in 20 years, we might look back and people will say, what a great investment. They bought in early and they were able to reap advantage from that.
Well, and think about this too. In order to get the best that the Mormon religion has for a member, the temple is absolutely essential. Temple participation is essential if you hope for eternal exaltation in the celestial kingdom. Of course, in order to get into the temple, you have to have a temple recommend, which means, of course, that you have passed the interview with your ecclesiastical leaders, and one of the questions they ask you is, are you paying a full tithe? One of the responses that I got when I was speaking to these pastors and I was mentioning how in order to get into a Mormon temple, you have to pay a full tithe, and there was kind of some of the pastors were licking each other, kind of chuckling with each other. I guess that's probably something they don't expect from a lot of their congregants because the countries are so poor and a lot of them can't afford that. I mean, Eric, you would not understand just how poor this country is unless you've been there. We were helping put concrete on the bottom of some of these rock huts that these people live in. They had nothing but a dirt floor, which, of course, a dirt floor attracts a lot of diseases and parasites and things like that. So we were helping put these concrete floors in there. Now, we didn't do the actual floating of the concrete and the finish work. Haitians were doing that, but we were certainly helping with the mixing of the concrete, which was done right on the ground. And then we had these bucket brigades where we'd fill the buckets up, hand it to people in the house. They would pour this bucket out. A man would be in there floating it, and then the buckets would come back around through a window or a door of the house and back, and then we'd start the cycle all over again. I mean, this country is very, very poor, and I don't think we don't understand the poverty that these people live in.
So I guess, in a sense, we cannot judge the LDS Church as trying to make a lot of money on this because the minimum wage is $5.11 a day. But let's say you're able to double the population of LDS in the next decade, then the investment does pay off, and it helps to pay off that temple. But I'm sure there are people who, from the United States and other places, who are willing to maybe help the church with that, because we know that the church doesn't pay for all of its temple expenses. When they build a temple and they go to an area, they oftentimes look for the rich businessmen who want to invest in that, and there's a lot of pride that goes into paying for this temple in your own community, that you have a temple in your backyard to do this work that is required for not only for your self-exaltation, but to get your family to be able to receive exaltation.
Yeah, I know in the United States that a lot of the people that live within the proximity of the temple are responsible to come up with a certain amount of what the cost is going to be. I don't know how the church does it in a country like Haiti. Of course, the Mormon Church does not release a lot of these kind of financial records for us to examine. But that's a great question. And I think you're right. If you ask any Latter-day Saint, why are you putting a temple in a country like Haiti or in another area where you have so few members, they would look at it from a spiritual perspective. We're just doing what they feel God wants them to do. Unfortunately, folks, when they put a building like this in an area, they do tend to grow. This is why I wanted to go there. I wanted to at least start the process. And if we need to go back again, I'm open to that should that opportunity arise, because I know what we did was merely a beginning. With close to 80 pastors is merely a beginning. If I go back, I would love to be able to go more into the area of Port-au-Prince and reach a lot of the pastors that are there locally that'll probably be affected most by this temple. Certainly, I'm open to that. That's something to be praying about. But that's why I wanted to go over there. I think we succeeded as best we could on this trip. And hopefully the message that I had for these pastors will be multiplied as they go back to their congregations and share what they learned at this two-day conference. So again, I just want to thank you for allowing me to go over there to accomplish what we did, and certainly pray for the Haitian people, as the missionaries certainly are going to be increasing as this temple comes to completion. When exactly that will be, we do not know. But I, again, thank you for allowing me to do this.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.